My title today is Prayer Changes Me, and that is the title of this month's series. Prayer changes things, and then things is crossed out, and prayer changes me. I thought as I was preparing this, and I'm thinking, Lord, there's a lot of people already know what prayer is. And it's like, I don't. And it's like the Lord said, there are a lot of people who think they know what prayer is, but don't just assume that everybody knows what prayer is and how beneficial it is. Because some people don't talk to me as much, and they don't consider prayer as a vital thing, a necessity in their life. And so tonight, today, the title is Prayer Changes Me. As Christians, we must learn the benefit of prayer. I've learned that prayer is more than what I thought it was, what I thought it to be. I've learned that prayer is something that, just as we need oxygen, I mean, we need prayer. We need to pray. And when I say prayer, I'm meaning communicating to God, because that's what prayer is. It's a communication from me to God. How many of you have ever had a walkie-talkie? Anybody? All right, if you have the walkie-talkie and you push the button signaling that you're about to talk, if you keep it pressed, you'll never hear what the other person says. Right? Because you always have it open for you to speak and the other person. And I think a lot of people have and think prayer is just like that. You act as if prayer is just like that. The button is pressed and you're just doing nothing but talking. And you never let go to hear what God is going to say. And so prayer just ends up being a one-way avenue approach, a one-way avenue of communicating. And I've learned that prayer is so much more than what I thought it was. It is a conversation, an intimate conversation between, sometimes we don't, it just goes right over our head. It is an intimate conversation between the Creator and His creation. Think about that. This is the guy that put the stars and hung them there and left them there for all of us to enjoy on any given night. He's the one that placed the planets where they're supposed to be. And regardless of what scientists have said about Pluto, Pluto is a planet. I mean, but God has placed that form of rock suspended in universe. God has placed it there. And this is the one that we get to talk to and have an intimate conversation with every day. I think if you just ponder on that, we don't have the time, but if you just ponder on that truth, on that thought, sooner or later you're going to just start to cry. Now some of you are like, I just don't cry. Well, you might just need to think about it longer than some, but because you see how frail you are, you end up seeing and you compare God. And there's not enough room and space to actually reveal who He is. And then just little old you. And when you think about the conversation that you're having with this Creator who created you, you begin to just say, woe is me. Maybe sometime in the next few moments of that time you're sitting there, you just think, God, I'm not even worthy to speak to you. And then just maybe He might say, oh, but you can, because I love you. And I like this. Let's keep it going. Let's keep it going. And so some of you might have already learned this also. You're probably sitting there thinking, man, I'm there with you. I'm learning it. I'm my eyes are connected, Pastor. I'm understanding what prayer is. Maybe some of you are learning this right now, but maybe there are some here, the rest of you, you're not there. But my prayer is that you'll come to learn that prayer, communication between you and the Creator, is far more valuable than you think. And you realize you don't put enough time into it. And you realize the things that take away your time from that precious conversation. So John chapter 17, we're going to learn from the best of what prayer, I mean, of how prayer changes me, how prayer changes you. And so we're going to learn from the best, and this is Jesus. John chapter 17, verses 1 through 5. I'm going to read a bunch of other scriptures. We're just going to jump around. But John chapter 17, verses 1 through 5. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son, that Your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on this earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. God, we thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for being obedient to the Father all the way to the cross, doing all that you did for us. Thank you, Father. It is your plan, master plan, that we would have the opportunity to be reconciled in a right relationship with you. We pray, Father, that you speak to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there's a key verse in all that I'm going to be reading today. And the key verse is that what Jesus said, that the world may know that you sent me. And that was his prayer to the Father. That the world will know that God sent Jesus. Let's go to verse 8. Jesus continues in this prayer and he says, "For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me." Drop down to verse 14. Jesus says, "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world." He's talking, they is the disciples, the ones that God gave to Jesus. "And the world hates them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not afraid. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth." Your word, God, is truth. Verse 20, I love this part. you ought to as well. Verse 20, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those..." All of us, "those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you." Unity. "That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me." There it is again. "And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, and that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me." Verse 25, "O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known you that sent me. And these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them." Great statements of truth. And I'm glad that Jesus spoke these words. And he's having this conversation with God the Father, which proves how we as creation, how so much more as we as creation ought to have conversations with the Father. You know, prayer changes me because it aligns me with God's purpose, God's desire and will. And here we find Jesus talking about God's purpose, that the world may know that God sent Jesus. God's desire and God's will that we would be one in unity, one with God, one with the Son, one with the Holy Spirit. Our best prayer is that the world may know Christ, because we already do, so we already got an upper hand. But how scary or how what a tragedy would be if we choose not to share it. But the best thing that we can do, our best prayer, is that the world may know Christ, because even Jesus was talking about that the world may know, so that the world may know, Father, that you sent me. God's love being revealed in us and in our life. Being aligned with God's purpose, desire, and will, this is vital. For some of you, vital, coffee is vital. This is so much more vital. That the fact that we are aligned with God's purpose, his desire, and will, because if not, then you know whose will we're living by? Our own will. You know whose desire we're living by? Our own desire. And that is only because it is of the flesh, it will only result in death. Romans chapter 8 talks about this. If we're focused on the fleshly things and the things that this world has to offer, we will find death. But if we choose to be led by the Spirit of God, we will find life and peace in that. And so being aligned with God's purpose is important. Our attitude changes. How many of you have ever needed your attitude to be adjusted or improved? Now, that's not just within the last 3 hours since you woke up today. You know, Moses learned this. I was thinking about this. Moses learned this, and no one had to teach him. Only it was God. When God started talking to him, and then God told him, remove your shoes. That changed the whole atmosphere of this conversation because it was holy. The one that's talking to you, Moses, is holy, so holy, you need to take off your shoes right now. The whole attitude, the whole atmosphere in that conversation changed. And that's what prayer can do for us, that it will change and align us, but it will change the atmosphere of where we're at when we're talking to God. Because we're talking to our Creator. Creation, talking to His Creator. Slide 2. It's a simple equation. There's Einstein. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. Now, when Jesus was praying to the Father, if you notice, he was talking a lot about God's desire, God's will, God's plan, God's purpose. And he mentioned about others. Never did he mention, hey, Jesus, or hey, Father, when it comes time, can you just ease it up on me? Can the pains not hurt so much? Can the cuts not go so far deep? I mean, he was talking to God the Father, and he even mentioned us, and I'm thankful about that. Prayer that focuses on God first, others second, then yourself last. This is a good equation to follow. If those of you that love math and you like to find out, you know, an equation, I want to know what, you know, how to do it and the precise method of it. This is a good method here. Good equation to follow. Pray for God's purpose. Pray for others. Then pray for yourself. Now, I'm not saying it's bad to pray for yourself. I mean, it's good. But make sure, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit, but make sure that what you're praying is what God's desire. Nehemiah, I'm just going to read a couple of verses in Nehemiah because I started to think of, Lord, who are some people that we could focus on? Of course, Jesus has got to be number one, our greatest perfect example, our perfect and greatest example of what prayer is and how prayer changes us. But Nehemiah, we find in his prayer, Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4, how his prayer revealed humility. And his prayer, you find out that he wanted to be involved in this prayer. So he says, so it was when I heard these words, it was bad news that the walls of Jerusalem had fallen, that Jerusalem was in shambles, and that there were some people there. They just didn't know what to do. So he, when he heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. It didn't say a couple of minutes. He wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying. Okay, now he's putting food to the side. So he's really meaning what he's saying. Can I hear an amen? All right. Whenever someone mentions a fast, I know some of you, your stomachs start to turn. Oh, man. No. Okay, so he really meant what was going on. He was weeping and he mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. He understands who he's talking to. And I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe our commandments. Sometimes I believe that when we pray, we forget who we're talking to. Because if we really remember and remind ourselves who we're talking to, when our prayers, they're not so, oh God, if you can, oh God, please, oh God, if it be your will. Does the word of God say what you're praying? Yeah, well then why are you saying if it be your will? If it's in already written. If it's already written, why fear? Why shiver? Why tremble? If you know what God's word says, then stand and come confidently. It says that we can boldly come to the throne of grace, that we can boldly ask God. Why? Because we are His children. And He's saying, okay, what you want, son? All right, daughter, what you want? What you need? He's wanting us to come to him, knowing who he is. And so Nehemiah knows who he is. Verse 6, please let your ear be attentive to your ear, and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night. Again, this is not a few minutes of prayer. Day and night. So he's weeping and mourning for days. He's fasting, so he's putting food aside. Now he's putting sleep aside. So for those of you that love sleep, you're putting sleep aside. He's really meaning what is going on. There is emphasis. There is enthusiasm. There is a strong desire in Nehemiah right now. Day and night, I'm praying for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned. He's putting himself in the same boat. And a lot of times, I don't think we do that. If you can be honest, but a lot of times I don't do that. I'm not thinking correctly. I need to put myself in that. I'm praying for my kids, that my children will follow God's will, that they will be filled with God's love. I better be praying the exact same prayer for myself, that I would be living according to God's will, that I would be filled with His love, that I would be able to respond to people in God's love and not Rick's love. And so I need to put myself in. So Nehemiah was putting himself in the same situation. And then verse 9, you'll drop down to verse 9. Verse 8. Remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses. So he's reminded, he knows what God says. And this is an important, when we're praying, it's good to know what God says, so that we can align our attitude, our thoughts to what God already says, and not go come across from a, well, God, I don't know if you really want to. You know, God, you can help me. No, what does God's word say? So he says, verse 8, remember, I pray the word that you command your servant Moses. If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest part of heavens, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling of my name. He's referring, you'll find Leviticus, I think it's Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 30. Now verse 10, he says, now these are your servants and your people whom you have redeemed by your great power and your strong hand. O Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name, and let your servant prosper this day. I pray. Now he's not saying prosper meaning let me get rich. He's saying let your servant prosper in knowing what to do. Let your servant know, he's talking about me, let me know what you want and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. Who's this man? He's a cupbearer for the king, so he works for the king. See, when we pray, prayer changes us, that it causes us to be humble. Then it gives us room to take a responsibility. Will you repent? Will you realize that you are a problem too? Instead of praying for a bunch of people, now listen, for those of you that have been walking and driving and praying, we can get to where we can become like Pharisees. Oh God, bless all those people that don't know any better, that are all stuck in their word, that they're all stuck in their sin, that are so blinded, and we can come across that we are just know-it-alls. But man, if we become humble and say, Father, they need you just like I need you. Father, they need to have a relationship with Jesus just like I, Lord, just like I need a relationship with Jesus. Father, deliver them just as you have delivered me and you are still delivering me, God. Lord, deliver them from sin. And so Nehemiah, as he was praying, he really means it. And he's taking responsibility and he actually repents, for he says, forgive us, Lord. We must seek to rebuild and repent. We must seek to rebuild our relationship with God before we start asking God to rebuild relationships with other people. So I think sometimes when we pray that, we pray, God, fix this, fix that. And God's like, I'm waiting for you to start getting humble and asking me to fix the relationship that we got together. And you're worried about all those people. Hey, you need to come to me and we need to be in right relationship before you start talking, you know, about, you know, fixing other problems you have. Slide 3. This is Nehemiah's prayer. He confessed Israel's sin. I confess that we have sinned against you. Yes, even now, even my own family and I have sinned. I have sinned. Seeking the Lord in repentance and making available to be involved in the process. Now we find out, and we're not going to read it, but later on in that chapter, he does have an opportunity to speak to this king. And because he sought the Lord first, God made it possible for him to ask. Because the king said, man, why you look so sad? Well, let me tell you the reason why. And then God, it allows the opportunity for him to speak. And then God's favor, it's not because he talked to the king. It's because who he talked to first. He talked to God first. Then God planned it for Nehemiah to talk to the king. And God's favor was on him. And that Nehemiah was able to have all the resources that he needed. You see, again with that walkie-talkie, you need to let go of that button and allow God. Wait and allow God to speak to you. Wait and allow God to move. Because he didn't go seek the king Artaxerxes first. He sought God's plan best first, and God's plan is the best. And Psalm 119, 105, David recognized God's word as a light, that every step would be led by God's word. He said, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You think he was just lost one day and he just came up with a good rhyme or a good phrase? No, he understood God's word, that it would be a light for wherever he stepped. It was going to be where God was directing him and leading him. God's word was directing and leading him. He goes to God. We need to remember to go to God. And if we go to God, his plan is better. So prayer changes me. It brings me to humility. Lastly, Acts chapter 4. We find that Peter and John have been arrested. They've been arrested for preaching Jesus. Verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that these are uneducated, untrained men. But yet there was something special about them. They realized that they had been with Jesus. I wonder how many times people realize that in us. And let me encourage you, the more time you spend with the Lord, the more they'll recognize something's different about you. Something's different. You're not like everybody else. And seeing the man who had been healed. So there was a man who had been healed, and that they could say nothing against it because the dude was standing right there, healed, made whole. And so they commanded them to not teach. Verse 16. They actually discuss with themselves, what shall we do to these men? For indeed that the notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it. So let's tell them that they do not spread Jesus anymore. Let's threaten them. From now on, they speak to no man in this name, the name of Jesus. Peter, in verse 19, Peter and John said, ain't going to happen. Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So they had further threatened them. You better not do it. They let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people that were there. They glorified God for what the miracle had just taken place. Now, verse 23 is so amazing because Peter and John went back to their own companions, went to the other believers, reported what the chief priests and elders said. Don't go talking about Jesus anymore. So when they had heard, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David had said, so they knew what God said and what David said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Verse 27, for truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats, the threats of not preaching Jesus anymore, and grant to your servants, now talking about themselves, that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. You see, prayer changes us, because if you give it time and you allow God to do his work, you'll be reminded who's in control. If you know what God's word says, you'll be reminded in your prayers of who's in control. It's not me, but it's you, God. You are holy. You'll be reminded to be thankful for what is going on. These believers, Peter and John, considered themselves thankful. They actually prayed, God, give us boldness so that we can continue to preach Jesus. Look at their threats, but look upon us, your servants. This reminded me of Stephen that got martyred for his faith. In the last few words, he told God, Lord, don't put this sin to their charge. As they were stoning him, Stephen told the Lord not to put the blame on these guys who were throwing these stones at him. I mean, not looking upon himself, but looking to the glory of God. He knew who was in control, and to be focused on the more important matters. Now, again, like I said earlier, it's not to say that to pray for yourself is wrong, it's bad. But when you're praying for yourself, align yourself to God's purpose, God's plan, God's will. Humble yourself and see, God, is there any restoration that I need to do? Is there any repentance that I need to have? And God, if you got to do some work, change me. Don't just change the students, but God, change me. Don't just change the older people, but God, change me also. Be humble. Remember who is in control. Be thankful and look to the more serious and the more important matters. Scripture tells us that we are to ask, seek, and knock, and whatever you ask, believe that you receive and you shall have them. Now, that doesn't mean just expensive house and expensive car or whatever. That means that whatever is something that you're concerned about, pray. But when you're praying, concern what God is saying as well. Again, know what God's word is saying. Let's go to the next slide, Joe. Nehemiah did not act without prayer and did not pray without acting. So when we're praying, prayer changes us. And if we're willing, that we'll be humble. We'll come to God in prayer, but that we'll also say, God, use me. Use me to be the answer. You, if I'm at fault, Lord, forgive me. I ask for repentance. I ask for your help. But Lord, use me. Go to the next slide, please, Joe. It's a little cartoon that I found. It's on the bottom. It says, I think I need to set up a spam filter to catch lottery prayer requests. When you're praying for yourself, it is very possible that you can pray amiss. Scripture says that. James chapter 4, verse 3. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss. And he's talking about people who are just stuck on themselves and stuck on the world. And you, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Make sure that what you pray is not out of selfishness, but is out of humility. It is aligned with God's word and God's desire and God's plan. And that you are willing to repent if needed. You are willing to be a part of the solution. You see, because these disciples, when they got together, they prayed to continue to share Jesus. They prayed for boldness. They prayed to minister to others. They prayed to heal and to be used by God. In our times of prayer, communicating with God, examine what you're doing. And so I stopped and I said, all right, what am I doing when I pray? What am I doing? All right, I'm talking to God. Who am I talking to? Do I really believe in him and his desire to answer my prayer? Well, it says that his ears are open to the prayers of the righteous. And so when I'm calling and calling out to him, he's hearing me. Even though it might feel it's bouncing off the walls, I need to stand on what his word says, not on how I feel, and say, God, it feels like it's hitting the walls and we're having a dodgeball game here going on. My prayers aren't going through the roof. But God, I know what your word says and you hear my prayer. You hear me calling out to you, Father. So I'm standing on that. So know who you're talking to. God, there is nothing impossible. There might be things impossible for man, but nothing's impossible for you, God. And then I started to, I was talking to myself. But then I said, okay, what am I asking? Do I really believe in what I'm asking for? And am I willing to be the answer? What am I doing? Where is my focus and purpose in this prayer? Is it self-seeking? Is it according to God's word and his will? Am I willing to wait longer than I want to? For some of you, you're probably like, you got me right there. I'm not willing to wait longer than I want to. No. You see, if we're not willing to wait longer than we need to or than we want to, then when it comes to that threshold, that deadline, what do we end up doing? We end up going it out, doing it ourselves, don't we? Prayer changes us if we allow it to, and we wait and allow God to speak, allow God and give him the time to speak to us. Am I asking with a deadline? And then when I don't get it, I'll do my own thing. That's something that if the Lord is convicting you of that, just right now, just say, Lord, forgive me. And I will commit to not do that anymore. I will choose to wait. And if it's not at a time that I want it to, God, if you haven't spoken, if you haven't changed the instructions, I'm going to keep the instructions that you gave me before. I'm going to continue to wait. Many times our prayers can become like those suggestion or comment boxes. We talk to God, we write whatever we want to say, we tell him whatever we want to say, we put on a piece of paper, fold it, put it in a box, and we walk away. We don't allow him the time to say, hey, do you really know what you're really asking? Do you really know what my word says? Here, let me show you what my word says, and that'll keep you from asking. Rather, it'll cause you to make a statement of confidence. God, your word says this, so I know that you're going to do this. God, your word says that you will supply all my needs according to your riches and glory. So God, I'm just going to trust in you. I don't care what anybody says. I'm just going to trust in you. So I don't have to pray. Oh God, can you please provide for us? And God, I'm just going to say, Lord, thank you. Praise the Lord, God. You got my back. I can take your word to the bank. God, you got my back. Thank you. Go to the next slide, Joe. I think there's one more. I came across it and I thought, this is a good quote. The value of persistent prayer is not that he will hear us, but that we will finally hear him. Yeah. And that goes back to the fact of I'm talking to the Creator. Yeah. I'm having an intimate relationship, intimate conversation with my Creator. I mean, daily prayer, communicating with him. This is a divine connection that I can keep it fresh or I can allow it to go stale. Anybody ever have a stale bread? stale piece of anything. It's not good. But we have the ability to connect, to continue to have this divine connection fresh, open, and revolving. Where I speak, I push the button. I speak, I let go of the button, and I wait for him to speak. I speak, and back to, it's a revolving door where there's community. It's a two-way street, and we are talking. And this daily prayer creates a healthy, you want to have a healthy relationship with God? This creates a healthy relationship with God when you are daily talking to him and you are daily shutting up and listening to what he's got to say. This will grow stronger and more intimate day by day. You don't believe me? Try it with your spouse. Keep it fresh. Keep it going. Keep it open where you're talking and you're listening. And you're not doing that selective hearing thing, but you're actually listening. You're doing your best to keeping your mind to wander somewhere else, you know, but you're actually there, sitting there listening. Your marriage will become stronger and become more intimate. And that's how it is. It becomes stronger and more intimate day by day. I mean, will you begin this kind of prayer life? This month, you were asked to join with us in praying for Camden. Maybe some of you didn't expect as well as it has been turning out. Maybe it's been shocking to you. Wow. Because you have now realized that when you're walking, I'm walking with God. I'm walking in his presence. I'm walking with his authority. You know, if some of you can remember way back when you thought you had it all, you know, that you were the big baddest person, you know, you might have, you know, had a walk or your chest was out, you know, or, you know, you just thought you were all that. We can walk in similar like that, but knowing that it is God in us. And that where we go, his presence is with us. Where we go, the atmosphere changes, not because of me and I know, you know, 15 scriptures by heart, but it's because the Spirit of God is in me. And where I'm going, the purpose of where I'm going, and what's coming out of my mouth. I am speaking God's word over these people that don't know Jesus. I'm speaking God's word over these people that are addicted to whatever their addiction is. And I'm speaking that they will be delivered. That's not my word, that's God's word. And I'm coming with his authority and power. I tell you, where I've gone, I've driven and I've walked. I've had this thought in my mind that I'm going and I am. It's like wherever I'm going, it's like this cone behind me that I'm not influencing the city with Rick. I'm influencing the city with God and his love and his word. And there, where I'm going, I'm believing. And you could tell me this isn't happening. I don't care because I'm not listening to you. I know what God's word says. But I'm believing that where I'm going and praying, whether it be Arizona Street, whether it be Boone, whether it be May Street, it doesn't matter. But where I'm going, those people's lives are being changed, yes. Are being touched. Something is happening to them. When I'm driving or walking by their house, the Spirit of God is speaking to them. They could be in the shower. They could be sleeping. They can be in the kitchen. They can be in the living room. They could be outside mowing the lawn. It doesn't matter. The Spirit of God is moving. And it's because it's God. It's because we're joining together on God's behalf and praying what his word says. So listen, if it's gotten to, you know, surpassing your expectations, great. Keep it going. Keep it up because it's going to get better. Now, why do I know it's going to get better? We are doing what God wants. Yeah. We are praying. We are taking over what the devil wants to continue and contain and have. We are taking that over by the Spirit, not by the flesh. So as we communicate with God about his desire and his will for others and for us, so that we will come to know Jesus in a more intimate way. Man, this is how the world will know that Jesus came. This is how the world will know that God sent him. And so when we pray, we humbled. When we're praying, we are aligning our thoughts, our intentions with God, and his plan is better. Our attitudes change. Our thoughts, our attitudes are corrected and changed. I'm not sure if he's ever put you in your place, but allow him to, and he will put you in your place. But not put you in your place like put you in the corner with a dunce cap and say, you big dummy, sit over there. But he'll put you in your place and say, this is what I have for you, son. This is what I have for you, daughter. Know that my plan for you, know what I want you to do. It's for that others will come to know my son just as you've come to know my son. Father, we just come to you and we thank you. Lord, I'll continue to teach us, God, that prayer changes me. It changes us, God. And that, Father, those of us who have a problem of letting go of the button and just sitting there and listening, God, I pray that you speak to them today. Because, God, it's got to be an intimate, fresh, revolving relationship where we are talking, you're listening, you're talking, and we're intently listening. Father, I pray you teach us. Lord, this is the biggest part of our prayer, of our communicating with you. Lord, that we sit long enough to listen so that we can be changed, so that we can alter our prayer, so that we can alter our attitude. We can alter whatever it is in us, God, that needs to be altered, Lord, and that we can, Father God, pray exactly and according to your will and desire for the people that don't know Jesus.